All right, well, good evening. We'll be in Psalm 139 in just a little bit. I don't know if anybody else caught, but Brother Mike has given announcements three times today. And every time he has happened to mention that sometimes some people bring donuts to the men's breakfast. So if you're one of those people, make sure you bring donuts. Otherwise, he will be sorely disappointed by that. As you can see, Trinidad is up on the screen. The reason it's been up for 15 minutes is because I had some computer trouble trying to figure all this out earlier. To get it to show for you. So, please pardon the sloppy computer work today. It's not working quite as it normally would. But I do want to give you an update on the trip to Trinidad. I got back on Tuesday, drove back from Florida Monday and Tuesday, and it was a great trip. We were there a week and a day, a week and 2 days, something like that. I had a wonderful time over there. I was going with a church from Florida that I've been able to that I was able to be with last year in a revival meeting along with evangelist Tim Thompson. And so I met them there and got connected with them. And I don't remember if it was earlier this year or sometime last year, but they called and asked if I would go and be their preacher. So they were taking a group of like 28 people from their church, but they needed someone to come and to preach. And so I agreed to go along, and it was a really wonderful trip. On the right side of the screen there, you can see some of the people from the church there going out and doing so-called door knocking. It was a little bit different there. Almost all of their houses have gates, so you can't really knock on the doors as much. But there's also a lot of people just out walking around. So we were able to do that when we first got there for a couple days and talk to quite a few folks. They do speak English there, but it's very broken. So there's a lot of different influences. Who conquered who and all that sort of thing over there in Trinidad. Trinidad is an island right off of the coast of Venezuela. So you got Venezuela, Trinidad, and Tobago, our sister islands. Trinidad is bigger, but they're right off of Venezuela there. And anyway, but they speak English, but there's just a lot of different influences, and so they're hard to understand. Constantly through the week, I was saying, slow down. I can't hear what you're saying. And I found out about halfway through the week that they actually speak slower to us than they do to each other. I was listening to a couple of their teens talking to one another, and I was like, I know you're speaking English, but I'm not even getting words. Like, it was pretty bad. So, thankfully, they understood us better than them. That's their auditorium on the left side there. So I preached to the adults and teens and anybody else who was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Monday through Thursday night in their revival services, and then also each morning, Monday through Friday, for the teen event. So I got to speak 11 times, which was great. I was very tired. Voice was starting to wear out by the end of the week, but I was thankful for that opportunity. This is a group of the teens. This is how we did our teen stuff off of the church property, actually on a cricket/football soccer field about 5 minutes away. And so we had all of our stuff there. I think throughout the week we had about 70 teens, which was really good. We didn't promote anything ahead of time there. We just got there and day ahead of time and started putting up signs and everything, and we still got 70 kids. The first day was a little bit low, but then they went and found their friends because they had fun. And so they brought them back. They're, I think, playing soccer there. And let's see here. Yeah, this is them playing football out in the pouring rain. I did not know this, but we got there during their rainy season. So we got drenched about every day. I think our highest number of teens in one day was about 50, but 70 total throughout the whole week. So they really enjoyed the football. We didn't do football the first day, but they really encouraged us, you have to do it, you have to do it. So we ended up doing that with them later in the week, and they really enjoyed that. All right, this is the upstairs. So we were at the cricket field with the teens. They had a kind of like a grandstands area, and then that had a room up at the top, which was nice because we could get out of the rain a little bit. On the left side of the screen there, you can see them doing animal balloons. We taught them a different animal balloon almost every day, and they really enjoyed that. And then on the right, right in the center there, I don't know how well you can see, it's a little bit of a small picture, but right in the center was a man named John Hembry. He was the only other person on the trip that was not part of the church down in Florida, myself and him, and he is a pastor in Georgia. And so he's teaching them one of their verses for the week there. They learned a verse each day. And let's see if I can get this to play here. Oh, we skipped it. That was them practicing their verse. This is the grandstands. Again, they're learning a verse right there. Up on the stands, they learned a verse each day. Some of them weren't even trying to memorize it. So, you know, you have that typically. But the very last day, I think we had 21 of them come back the next day on the Friday and say their verse, which was really good, really a blessing there. All right, Mr. Bragg, can you jump us back a few there? I'm going to stop using the clicker here for a minute. To be continued. We'll come back to that one in a minute. All right, this is the VBS room, okay? So this is where the younger kids did their stuff. So during the teen, I think we called it Teen Extreme, which was from 9 to 12 each day, they also did a 12 and under kids VBS at the same time back at the church. So we had two different things going on. I was less involved with the VBS because we were doing the teen stuff, but I think they had maybe 150 kids throughout the week, which was really good. And you can see there they got a lot of fun stuff going on in that room there. Brother Brad, you can go ahead and jump us to the next one there. And this is our final night. Parents' night was Friday night. And this is the kids doing one of their songs. All right, I think we got one more song. This is another one they learned. This is all the groups of kids that showed up on that Friday night. On that Friday night, we had a number of the parents come as well. That was the idea, that they come back that Friday night and bring their parents. And a lot of them got to hear the gospel that otherwise may not have. And so we're thankful for how God used that. A number of the younger kids also did memory verses throughout the week, so they got to learn those too, which is great. Learning scripture is a really good thing. I think that's the end of the video there. And you want to go ahead and jump to the next one. This is just a picture. I honestly don't know how many we had on the Friday night. So they typically, the kids did not come to the evening services. Some of them did, but a lot of them just came during the day there. But good number came that evening. I think we had 50 of the teens come back that Friday night, which is great. And like I said this morning, I think we probably had 15, 20 that trusted Christ throughout the week. So really thankful for that. That does not include any of the 12 and under kids. I have no idea about any of that. So hopefully the church in Florida there is putting together a video with some testimonies from the kids that were there that week and how it impacted them and all that stuff. So I don't know when that'll be done, but I'd love to share that with you or put it on Facebook or something whenever that's done as well, and get some more of that information and find out how God worked in some other kid's heart. But it was neat. As we were leaving, you can go ahead and switch to the sermon one over there. As we were leaving, a lot of the kids were coming up and asking, you know, when are you guys coming back? And all that sort of thing. And it's, you know, it's a little bit sad because, like, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever be back or not. But it was a neat opportunity, and I just wanted to thank you all for praying. And praise the Lord for how he worked in hearts over there. What I learned from the trip was that people are the same everywhere. There's some cultural differences. It's a very unsettled area. It's right next to Venezuela. A lot of stuff going on there. They've got refugees coming over from Venezuela right now. But Trinidad's not great either. There's a lot of kidnapping, a lot of crime, tons of drinking and drugs and all sorts of things. Our group had to be, you know, five or six people together at a time. Always had to have locals with us just because of the fact that it's dangerous over there. It's a third world country. And a lot of stuff going on. But their hearts are tender over there. And it was neat to see, especially a lot of the kids who They were hungry for truth. They wanted to learn something. They wanted to learn the Bible, and it was neat to be able to see that. So thank you for your prayers, and appreciate that, and looking forward to see how God will continue to work in hearts over there. All right, Psalm 139 is where we will be tonight. You know, there's some folks today that live day-to-day wondering why they exist. They're wondering what the point of life is. Maybe they have different sin struggles. Maybe they just feel like a failure. Maybe they think that life would be better off if they weren't there. They think life would just go on if they didn't exist anymore. In some cases, it might be better for people if they just weren't there anymore. And I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about believers. Believers can have these same thoughts, different struggles. Maybe it's just struggles with depression or discouragement or the feelings of uselessness or whatever the case may be. But let me encourage you this evening. God knows you, and God loves you, and He created you, and He has a plan for you. And so that ought to put to rest all of these other feelings, knowing that God has a purpose for your life. Whatever situation you're in, God has a plan for you, and He loves you. And because of that, you have worth, not in yourself, but in Christ. And you do have worth in Christ. And we'll look at more of that this evening. But let's go ahead and read our passage, Psalm 139, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. This is David writing. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. And then he goes on, verse 11, he says, If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. There's no difference to God. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, verse 15, was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. And as I mentioned a moment ago, this idea of hopelessness is not limited to unbelievers. In fact, many believers struggle with this same area. But I will mention that this is an area that our world struggles with as a whole. In 2022, there was a study done and found out that those who died under the age of 45, the second leading cause of death among that group was suicide, caused by depression and anxiety and hopelessness and all those other things that go with it. So how does our world deal with these things? Oftentimes, they will prescribe drugs. They'll send people to psychiatrists or mental illness institutions or whatever the case may be. And I am not a doctor, and I'm not saying that those are horrible, bad things, okay? But I also recognize that in some areas, in some realm of that, there's a responsibility spiritually, and there's something that can help us from the Bible, okay? Another way that our world deals with some of these things is by self-affirmations. How many of you have heard of this before? Anybody? Okay, maybe a few of us. A lot of us haven't. Bless you. these are basically you telling yourself that you're wonderful. Okay, there are apps out there that you can get that give you daily affirmations, and you look at your app and it'll tell you, you are brave, you are strong, you are beautiful. I'm not joking, these are real things, okay? And that's a way that our world uses to encourage themselves in who they are and to break out of this hopelessness or whatever the case may be. They tell themselves, you're stronger than you believe, you're better than you think, all of these wonderful sorts of things. But here's the problem. In fact, you can go ahead and flip the slide there. Our worth is not found in our appearance. It's not found in our accomplishments, our position, our career, the things we do. That's not where our worth is found. Our worth is found in Christ. And we'll see that some more as we look at it tonight. Our world, in a sense, is close. They're telling themselves these things that they want to believe about themselves to make themselves feel better. But what in reality they ought to be doing, and I recognize they're not because they don't know who God is, but what they ought to be doing is telling themselves who they are in Christ and telling themselves who God is. And that helps a lot of these different issues. All right, you can go to the next slide. Number one tonight, if you're taking notes, is that God knows you. God knows you. Look again at verse 1. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know, sometimes we think that we are the only ones that know the thoughts that we think. We're the only ones that know the feelings that we have, the concerns that we have, the hardship that we are dealing with, the battles we face. And we can look at others and think, well, man, they have it so easy. Because you don't see any of those things with them, right? And you can look to other people and think, well, they don't have to do this or this or this. And we look at all the things that we have to deal with, and we think, well, I'm the only one that knows that I have to deal with these things. But let me remind you what John said in his gospel. He said, in the world, you shall have tribulations, okay? It's not a win or it's not a might, it's a win, okay? It's going to happen. There's going to be trials. I remember one man once said, you are either coming out of a trial, you're in a trial, or you're about to go into one. All right, that's kind of the way that that life works. There's always going to be hardship. There's always going to be something to deal with. And so, first of all, know that there's nothing new under the sun. I am sorry. This is distracting me so much right now. I kept thinking there was a person over there. The wind was, AC from that, I think, was blowing on him. Okay, anyway, but know that you're not the only one, okay? There are other people that have dealt with this same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. So know that first. But secondly, know that God knows your frailty. God knows your weakness. The Bible says in Psalm 103:14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God knows the struggles that you have. He knows the difficulties that you deal with. Psalm 139:1, look again. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. And you can see up on your screen there. Letter A, God knows your actions. God knows the things you do. Look at verse 2. He says, thou knowest mine downsitting and mine uprising. What is that talking about? Okay, it's very simple. God knows when you sit down and God knows when you get up. He knows what you do. God knows when you get angry and throw something out of frustration. God knows when you break down in tears over some issue. God knows when you go into the secret of some room in your house and at nighttime and you lift up your hands and ask, why God? Why did this happen? Or why did this happen? Or whatever the case may be. God knows when you do wrong. God knows when you do right. God knows all of these things about you. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you get up. He knows all of these things. But letter B, God knows your thoughts. Look at the end of verse 2. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows the anxiety that you feel about whatever issue. God knows the feelings of worthlessness that you may have at different times in your life, maybe after failing him again and sinning or whatever the case may be. God knows when something bad happens to you and you just want to give up and you just want it to be all over. God knows all those things. And let it encourage you that though other people may not feel what you feel or even know what you're going through, God does. God does know. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God knows you better than you know you. And he cares for you. He loves you. He knows all your ways. Verse 3 says, the end of the verse, and aren't acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4 says, for there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. In other words, before you even speak, God knows what you're going to say. Okay, what's Scripture pointing out here? God knows you. God knows all about you. And if God knows you, know this, you're not insignificant because God knows you and he cares for you. But not only does God know you, God is with you. God is with you. Look, if you would, well, in just a moment, we'll look at verse 5. Have you ever known something but not been able to do something about it? I think of being maybe in the top of the arena in a basketball game, and you look down, and you got to have the binoculars, but you see your team down there playing, and you notice that one of the opposing team's people is off, kind of off the side of the court, waiting to jump on and come steal the ball. They're hiding on the side of the court. And you see this, and you also see that your team doesn't see the person there, okay? And what do you want to do? Well, you want to yell out and tell them to pay attention, right? But you're way up in the top of the arena. You can yell all you want. They're not going to hear you, okay? You see it. You see the problem. And you want to do something about it, but you can't do anything about it, okay? You can't affect the situation at all. This ought to encourage you about God. Not only does God know you, but he's also right there with you. He's right there to help. He's right there to uphold you. He's right there to keep your feet from falling, Psalms tells us. He's there to carry your burden, to lift you up. Look again at verse 5. It says, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. What is the word beset here? This word beset has the idea of a securing, like a fortress. God comes and he encloses us from in front of us and from behind us, securing us, keeping us safe. And then he lays his hand upon us. And then the psalmist says in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain unto it. The fact that God not only knows you, but he's right there with you every step of the way. What a wonderful thing. Securing us. Do you know in the darkest part of the night when you wake up and feel alone, God is there. The God, according to Psalm 121, that neither slumbers nor sleeps, he's there. He's there with you. When we feel that we're insignificant, that we're nothing, that we've failed so many times that God doesn't even want us around anymore, God will not forsake you, and God is there. The psalmist said, such knowledge is too wonderful. It's too amazing to even understand, even comprehend. Look again at verse 7. He asks a number of questions. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. What's the psalmist saying here? He says, hey, if I go up to heaven, God is there. I believe it's the book of Jeremiah tells us that God's presence fills the heavens and the earth. If I make my bed in hell, the word Sheol, it has a lot of different translations in the Bible. It can mean afterlife, as we might think of it. It can mean just the grave. It can mean whatever. In some sense, it can mean the deepest part of the earth. But the point is, God's presence is there. Not only does he see, but he's there. And he's there with us. It says in verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning, it has the idea of when the sun is rising and the rays shoot out. Book of Malachi says the wings of the sun. talks about the wings of the sun. As far as those rays shoot, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, the farthest parts of the sea, what's he say? Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. For some, that's an encouragement. I've heard stories of those who are in a faraway place in a prison camp or in some sort of captivity, and they're all alone, humanly speaking. They're amongst enemies, but they take comfort in the fact that they know that God is with them, and God is there with them. But for others who may not be doing the right thing, this idea of God's always being with us might not be the most comforting thing. I think of Jonah. Right, what did Jonah want to do? He wanted to flee from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to get away. But what did he find out? Well, even in the belly of the fish, God didn't leave him. And he spoke to him. God is everywhere. He is with you. When you lie awake at night and wonder what the purpose of life is, why you exist, whether life would be better if you weren't around or whatever the case may be, know that God is there and he understands and he cares. And he knows. His hand shall lead you. Verse 10. You can flip to the next slide. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God is with you. And take encouragement in that. Not only does God know you, and not only is God with you, but God designed you. God is the one who created you. Look again, if you would, at verse 13. Psalm 139 and verse 13. It says, "For thou hast possessed my reins." Interesting phrase. "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." The idea of reins here is not a horse, okay? When I read it, that's what I thought. I was like, well, he's got the reins of a horse or whatever. That's not what it's talking about, okay? The idea of reins here is actually the idea of, now, let me explain. It's the idea of kidneys, okay? Now, it's used in different ways in Scripture, but the Hebrews would have thought of this as kidneys, being the inner hidden part of the man, the part where some would even say they believe that the affections or emotions came from. Now, we would say our heart, okay? Our heart is an organ. We would describe our heart like that. In this case, they would say their kidneys. I know it's a little bit funny for us today, but the hidden part of us, we might say our heart today. But notice, God is not just the observer of our inward being, but he has possessed our reins. The idea of possessed there is actually the idea of originated, created. Did you know that your soul was created by God? The inward part of you, that was created by God. Sometimes the part that we have frustration with, we get frustrated with the way that we are, the way that we think, our personality, whatever the case may be. But when you get in that situation, remember that God created you. And in that sense, you are special because God uniquely created you. Don't ever try to say that you are a mistake, or that you don't have any worth, because God is the one who created you. God is the one who puts you in the time that you are today, and he is sovereign over those things. And so recognize you are special, you have worth, because God is the one who designed you. Look at the end of verse 13. It says, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And then verse 14, let's read verse 14 together out loud if you would. Verse 14, Psalm 139. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Fearfully made, the idea of something that is worthy of awe. Those of you who complain about the way that you look, or the way that you are, or the way that, you know, we can list whatever, the position in life we are in, or the things that we can't do, recognize you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, can sin mess things up? Sure. Can you make decisions that are not good for you? Yes, I understand that. But sometimes we can think that we just are going to give up because we're flawed, we've messed up, and and all those sorts of things. But recognize that if God is the one who has created you, He has plans for you, and He wants to use you. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And these words were spoken to those who had been taken in captivity to Babylon, in a situation where they could very well think that God has abandoned them. They're in a horrible situation, a really difficult spot, you might say. And yes, they were there because of sin, but God reminds them of something. He reminds them that even in their current situation, He says, "Hey, I have plans for you." And they're not evil plans. They're to give you an expected end. Friend, God has plans for you. He does. He's made you for a purpose, and He has plans for you. Look down a little farther to verse 15. Psalm 139, verse 15. It says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." God has thoughts for you. Verse 18, "If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." God fashioned you just as He wanted. So don't think that you can't do something because you lack the ability to do it. Now, there are certain things that God desires us to do. There are certain things that God might not desire us to do. But if there's something that God wants you to do, the excuse, "I can't," is not valid. As you look in Scripture, you see a lot of people who said, "I can't." You see people who said, "I'm slow of speech, so I can't do what you've asked me to do. I am but a child." There are too many of them, or they're too strong, or there's too few of us, or I'm too old, or whatever the case may be. All of these things you see in Scripture, and people using them as excuses, only to find out that God gave them the strength they needed to accomplish what God had given them to do. And recognize all the flaws and failures that you can find with yourself, which, by the way, you can. Why? Because we are weak. We do mess up. Okay, so it's not hard to find failures in yourself. But don't get your eyes so much on what horrible person you are and all the things you can't do that you don't look to God to enable you to do the things that you ought to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verses 9 and 10 say this. They're very familiar verses. Many of you would know them. It says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." God made you. God had a plan for you. He does have a plan for you, and He wants to use you for His glory. And He will, as you recognize, yes, I am weak. Yes, I do fail. But God is my enabler. God's strength is the one that I rely on. God will enable you. His grace is all that you need to get you through. When you are faced with these feelings, maybe you've not felt these before, maybe you have, maybe it's something you struggle with on a daily basis, I don't know. But recognize, when you are faced with these things, you are not alone. God knows you better than you know you. God is right there with you. And God has a plan for you. He wants to use you. He's the one who designed you. He's the one who created you. He has plans for you. You may not see it. You may not know what it is. But you can know that you have a purpose in this life. And as long as you are still here, God has something He wants to accomplish through you. For His glory, for the good of others around you, God wants to use you. So next time you are faced with those feelings, next time you're faced with opportunity, rather than thinking, well, this is why I can't, or this is why I can't, here's my problems, and looking inwardly, look to God and recognize He is the one that will enable you beyond your physical capabilities, beyond what you think that you can do, beyond your mental abilities. God is the one that we get the power that we need from. He is the enabler, and the Holy Spirit through you can work in mighty ways beyond what you can do in yourself. So rather than looking at yourself and your weakness, recognize I am weak, but He is strong, and He's the one who will enable me. Father, I do ask that You'd help each one of us to recognize that we are weak, God, but not to focus in so much on that we get caught up in what we aren't, what we can't, what we won't, all of those sorts of things, the hopelessness, the discouragement that comes with that. Lord, help us to recognize the truth. Yes, we are weak, but You are strong. And God, You are right here with us. You strengthen us. You enable us. Lord, You're the one who made us, and You certainly have a plan for us. And so, God, may we rest in that. May we obey You. May we seek You, Lord, in Your plan for our lives and how we can better serve You, how we can glorify You, and ask that You'd help each one of us in that this evening and even in this week ahead. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything to say? All right, you are dismissed. Thank you so much for joining us at our service and worship time at New Life here today. We hope the preaching of God's Word was an encouragement and a challenge to you. Here at New Life, one thing that we believe is the most important is that you know confidently that you have a right relationship with God. The Bible tells us that we are born against God, separated from God, and not in a right relationship with Him. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're born sinners, separated from God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible tells us that the punishment for that sin debt is eternity in hell. Sin came into the world when Adam, the first man, disobeyed God. And since then, each one of us was born a sinner, separated from God. But God did not want you to stay in that state. God loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in your place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For He, God the Father, sent Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, even though we deserve death, Jesus Christ took that punishment for us and died in our place. The Bible speaks about how we can receive that free gift of salvation. It's not by doing good things. It's not by being a good person. Not by our good works outweighing our bad works, going to church. None of those things impress God. In fact, the only thing that God is pleased by is His Son and His sacrifice. It's not about what we can do to have eternal life, to get to heaven. It's about what Jesus has already done on the cross. The Bible tells us how we can receive that gift, and it's simply by asking Jesus to save us, by trusting in Him alone for salvation. Nothing of what we can do but in Jesus alone. The Bible says that anyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's something that you can do right where you are today. You can simply call out to the Lord and in your heart or out loud and say, "God, I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize that the payment for that sin is death in hell. But I also know that Jesus died in my place on the cross and took my punishment, and I'm asking Jesus to save me from my sin." The Bible tells us that if you ask the Lord to save you, He absolutely will, and that's a promise. If you have questions about eternal life, if you are not sure, we'd love to hear from you, and you can reach us via our Facebook page or our website. If that's a decision that you've made today, we would love to hear that as well, and we would rejoice with you in that. And we'd love to give you some encouragement from God's Word on how to further your new relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you again for joining us today, and may God bless you.